Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
We are the Hairy Bakers. I'm Si.
And I'm Dave. And we're here to help you, not just in your lives, but in the kitchen too.
Yeah. And you know what? Sometimes you need all the help you can get. Because when you're cooking, which is why Dave and I use Meter, the wireless meat thermometer, it's simple to use. So you just stick it in whatever you're cooking and read the temperature on the app.
Yeah, and your Sunday roast is an expensive investment, and this way you'll get it perfect. And that's how it works. You can see the temperature on your phone while it's cooking, so you're leaving nothing to chance. And it's not just for the oven. It works on your barbecue, frying pan, and air fryer. Meter gives you the confidence to cook like a professional.
Oh, yes, it does. And as Meter are sponsoring the Agony Uncles podcast, thank you very much, Meter, we've done a deal with them. And you get 20% off anything in the Meter range.
Yeah, it's easy to get you 20% off. I mean, that's a fifth, that's a lot. Just go to meter.com. That's meater.com. And use the code HAIRY20 to get your 20% off the Meter product you think would help you the most.
It's a great deal for a great product. So what's not to love? And both me and Dave really do use them. Mm. So go and have a look at the shop online and use Hairy20 to get your money off ski.
Right, now let's get on with the Agony Uncles, which is proudly sponsored by Meter, helping you to eat better forever.
Oh, yes, imposing the problems today. It's the master of marvellousness, Mr. Mark Jeeves.
Oh, beautifully, beautifully done. Yes, hello, everybody. And fantastic to see you all again. And goodness me, have we had a bulging post bag this week. So I hope you've got your caring heads on your shoulders today. That's all I can say.
Oh, dear.
Right. Oh, no. Si's not as caring today. Come on, Si.
I'll try.
And here she is. The woman, well, she watches upstairs, downstairs, and thought it was a documentary about her life. It's Posh Tash.
Wow. Morning.
Nice soft furnishings.
Yeah,
yes,
nice.
Thank you very much. This is my nicer living. It's my more posh living room of all. Actually, what you can't see in vision is I made a lamp couple of years ago for my birthday, and it's actually a metallic torso of a woman, naked woman, into a lamp. So it all looks very posh from here, but if I turn it around, it's slightly more hedonistic.
But isn't it funny, her idea of a homemade lamp is a metallic torso. Up north, the biggest thing was when Matcha's Rosé came out. Oh. You remember that rosé in a bottle? And we'd get it covered in cement and seashells and turn it into a lamp. Yeah. My Auntie Pat was particularly good at that.
Yes, you see. You see. Yes. Also, as well, we'd be saying there's this naked posh bird that we've got this, we've just nicked from some public building. That we've made into this lamp.
I'm leaving you the posh version of you today.
Good. Right, guys, Dave, let's get solving, mate. Play that jingle.
Bing bong! Cashier number 5.
Hello, hairy bikers. Here is my request. I have got a problem that I must get off my chest. Won't you listen to my story like a hairy Jack and Ori? Because I heard your advice is the best.
In today's Dispatches of Despair, Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash, you're going to be pontificating on these problems. We have the pastry pasty problem. We have the food lover's nightmare. We have the errant brother. And we have next door neighbour Nookie. Unsurprisingly, in Confidential Corner. But we're going to start with the pasty pastry problem. And this comes from Sonia. who says, Dear Uncle Si and Uncle Dave, I've tried a few times to make your Cornish pasties. They look lush on the website. I'm sure if you go to have a look at the website, hairybikers.com, then Barry will have put the Cornish pasty recipe up there. He says, however, I don't have a food processor like your recipe says, so I try and mix my own pastry by hand and it's always disastrous. It just cracks and falls to bits. I can't afford a food processor, so any help, please, on how to do your pastry by hand so I can have a lovely homemade pasty. Thank you, Sonia. Over to you.
Well, Simon has a phrase that is very useful in times like this, and it's some people are born with what he calls pastry hands. Over to you, Mr. King.
Pastry hands.
I got them.
Yes, not posh-tash, but pastry hands.
Not with nails like that, she hasn't.
The pastry hands are hands that are cold, because you need cold hands to make pastry, you see. The alternative is you could stick them in the freezer for 20 minutes, or other than that, and that might hurt, so let's not go there. So, yes, it's pastry hands or cold hands, as opposed to strangler's hands or bread hands.
Yeah, but the thing is, what you can do is, if you're not possessed and Jesus haven't given you pastry hands,
no,
or your God of choice, is to actually just, you chill the pastry down before you roll it out, and it should stop it cracking. Because obviously what happens is the pastry contains fat. The fat warms up with your hands, so therefore it goes crumbly. You put the pastry into the fridge just to chill it down before you use it. That fat will therefore set a little bit more solid, which enables the rolling out, so as you don't go mad. And you know what? If you're fed up with it, just buy shop-bought pastry. And for a pasty, you know, if you like puff pastry is brilliant, and actually short crust isn't bad, but good short crust pastry, and actually, you know, lard pastry is great. If you make a short crust with lard, it's so crumbly and fructile. It's lovely.
I wonder if anyone's ever invented pastry gloves. You know, you can get every contraption for anything nowadays. You can get extra cold gloves. You know, you can get hand warmers. Maybe you should invent Hairy Biker pastry gloves that have got like a cold tip to them, so when you do the pastry.
No, we sell cheap food processors online. That's a far better option. Then one hand's never get, you know, whiz bang, wallet, press a button, ball of pastry appears. Still chill that down though, don't we, mate?
Yeah, we do, mate. Is she actually our management?
It's a worry, isn't it, really?
Isn't it? It's a bit of a worry.
Yes.
Just saying, Tash.
You didn't say I was good at cooking.
Well, I tell you what, it was the other member of the management team. We would go around to her house for dinner, and guess who ends up cooking dinner? Nicola Ibsen, you know who you are, and you know who the two invited guests were. Us. Yes. Either that, or she'd get a sister around to do the cooking when she had a dinner party. Yeah, it's true.
It's true.
And I bet she's very social. I bet she invites everyone all the time, just the people, only the people who can cook.
She never invites anybody. That all her mates can cook. Other than her, so she never cooks anything.
No, and her sister's a brilliant cook. Her father was a fishmonger, you know, you think she'd have picked something up.
Oh, yeah?
Fishmonger from Liverpool. Apparently, he came once with a bear, didn't he, or something, into the fish shop.
Yeah. He said bear meat was the next big thing. So, yeah. Anyway, we better not talk about that.
What I will talk about, though, is I sent a picture to you both. I should put it onto your Hairy Biker socials. I did cook your ginger nuts. Last Friday, and they
were... Is that a euphemism?
Oh, yeah, hold on.
Ginger nuts, they were great, delicious.
Yeah, they're good, ginger nuts, them, aren't they?
Yeah, they are actually, nice, actually.
It honestly, was a very bougie way that you did it. I saw it on social media, and it was very like, ooh, little flick of flour across the page. I saw all that.
No, that's my messy cooking. That was...
No, it had the whiff of Mary Berry to it, I must admit. But no, it's good. Pastry's brilliant. I mean, like my Auntie Marion, she made the worst. I've said this before on here. You know, when I was a kid, I was sitting there having Auntie Marion's blackberry and apple tart. And my cousin Tony, who was her son, and I just eat it, you know, because I was a fat kid. And that's not that we're plumpest, but I was rather round. And anyway, my cousin Tony just went, Mother, why is it your pastry's like cricket pads? It was. But that was Tony, really. But she never got the knack all those years, couldn't make pastry. But where I go to, there's like a farm shop near with a deli. And their pies, the homemade pies, from the pot pies to the short crust pies, the chicken and mushroom pies, are epic. And I said to the butcher, I mean, Paul, I said, what's your secret for the pastry? He said, come with me. And in a room at the back, near a small kitchen, well, shed at the back, was this lady who was a certain age. And she was there making the pies. And as she said, the secret that she did, it was just like years of experience. And she used a quantity of lard in her pastry, and But it's stunning. You know, it was just having that knack and feeling for it, really.
I tell you what, I could do the short crust one. I haven't done it for a while. I do buy shop bought now. But I have to say, that is it the puff one where you have to fold in the sheets of butter and keep going? And that's the one that I always goes wrong for me.
There's absolutely nothing better than puff pastry like that, because I've done it a couple of times.
Yeah,
and it
homemade.
Is a faff on, but good grief, it's so beautiful.
So a real cheat's way of making puff pastry is you've got your basic short crust pastry mix. You put your block of butter in a freezer.
Yeah.
And what you do is you get a cheese grater and you grate the frozen butter. And basically you've just got chippings of butter. You mix that into your pastry, roll it out. So wherever you get a bubble of butter, you will get a puff, you know. And that's a simple way. But actually, you know, I think as well as with shop-bought puff pastry, if you buy the all butter... rough puff pastry, that's better. Again, you need to look at the labels, and you know, the more you pay, it's worthwhile paying for a good one. But shop bought is pretty decent, really. But short crust, it depends what you're making, really. I still think for savoury pies, put a bit of lard in. I probably would do for the pasties, although it probably doesn't say that on the recipe. But short crust is easy to make, isn't it?
So there you go, Sonia. There's no shame in using shop-bought stuff, or put your hands in the freezer, but not for very long.
Food makes everything better.
We're going to stick with food for our next one, because this is called The Food Lover's Nightmare. We need one female and one male name for this. So Uncle Si, a female name, please, and Uncle Dave, a male name.
Audrey.
Audrey.
Hey.
Nice name.
And Bradley.
Audrey. This comes from Audrey, who says, "Dear Uncle Si, Uncle Dave, and Natasha." Which is
No. Only my mother does that when she's cross. That's the only time that happens.
Do you remember Wheel Tappers and Shunters? There used to be a telly kingy. There used to be a stripper at the end.
Called Natasha?
Natasha, yeah. Wow. And they used to go, "Oh, no, Natasha, no." And that stuck with me all these years.
Oh. I used to stay up. My dad used to tantalise me till the very 30 seconds before. And Colin, what's his name on the Wheel Tappers and Shunters Club?
Colin Crompton.
Ding,
ding, ding, ding,
wheel,
ding, ding, ding.
And then he'd announce the stripper and my dad would go, "Right, you bed." I was like, "You just let us stay up right until we see girls' boobs." What?
But Natasha's always had erotic overtones.
That's perfect for my lamp behind then.
Yeah.
So you got your Natasha in the end.
I did, darling. Yeah, but not naked, sadly.
And you never will, just to get that out there.
Honestly, she's no fun, you know. She's not.
Well, Audrey has written here to our two hairy chums and stripper. "How do I, a foodie, live with someone who I love but is not interested in food at all? You see, we moved in together in January. It's all been lovely apart from our food differences. You see, as soon as I wake up, I'm wondering what to have for dinner."
Dave.
Yeah.
"That's every day. Bradley, though, well, let's just say that sometimes when he comes home, I ask him what he's had for lunch and he won't be able to tell me. He'll then remember that he forgot to have lunch. Or he'll have had a crisp bread or a glass of water. He's the sort of person who can open a packet of biscuits, have one from the top, then put the packet back in the cupboard, and then forget we even have any biscuits, whereas I have food literally calling me from the kitchen. Recently, I set up the slow cooker before I went to work. All day at work, I was thinking of dinner. Those lovely succulent cuts of beef, the thick gravy and the vegetables. I couldn't wait to get home and open that front door to breathe in that wonderful smell. When I did open the door... nothing. Despite me telling him that morning about our dinner plans, he had unplugged the slow cooker to charge his phone and then gone to work. When I hit the roof, he suggested he could microwave me a potato. Is there any hope?" asks Audrey. Over to you.
I'd put his balls in the microwave. No, Audrey.
No, Audrey. Dump him straight out of the window. Gone. Don't mess about. Don't mess about. Don't try and make this work. First of all, he's got amnesia. And second of all, he doesn't like food. That's not a recipe made in heaven.
And especially if you love food. I can really feel for Audrey because, Si, you know, we both wake up thinking what we're having for tea, look forward to it. You know, and I want to admit, I have some dilemmas of my own and some problems with my wife with this. You see, sometimes I feel as though I'm taken for granted on the food front. And I'll say to her, you know, because I'll work out, and she's got used to it now. the food's there with some degree of care. Let's just sit down and eat it. And I'll be like, so? You know, and I'll go, consumer feedback is important, you know. And then she'll get the ump with me, say, what, I'm eating it? And I'm thinking, no, sometimes you're just like your dad. A dad was like that. But certain things like on the culinary front that annoy me is like, I do make exception good Yorkshire puddings. My mother's recipe, they're fabulous. She won't have gravy on a Yorkshire puddings.
What?
And like yesterday, I did a Sunday roast with this lovely rolled sirloin. So the gravy was epic.
Yeah.
You know, my Yorkshires were, they were like, they were so light. They were like angel's breath. Anyway, yeah. Yorkshires, no gravy. She won't eat gravy.
Do you know what, Dave? Can I just say, though, she's eating your food and she probably finds your Yorkshire pudding delicious, but everyone's got their way of eating on when the food is on their plate, and she may enjoy your gravy separately to your Yorkshire pudding.
Oh, no.
No.
She'll eat two or three Yorkshire puddings, but with no gravy. And I know it's a cultural thing, but there again, I want to press my culture, which is correct. Because you have to have gravy on Yorkshire puddings.
Is that really it? I don't either. I'm with Lil. I have my gravy over my meat and my vegetables, and my Yorkshire stays separately.
Oh, what?
No.
Pervert.
Yeah.
My Yorkshire's a hollow on the inside. Which is where the gravy goes. You fill them up.
Fill it up.
Exactly. A perfect receptacle for gravy.
Yeah. But things like that. And she doesn't like pies.
No,
because she doesn't like pastry. Which is strange because they don't have a pie culture. So you grow up with. I understand there's some things you do grow up with that you like or dislike, but you know it's kind of sometimes a dilemma with one's partner.
Yeah, I agree. I have a situation where my husband's actually quite patronising about it. He can't cook, therefore, but loves food, and he's so engrossed in the food. So I had this opposite problem just before Sonia, where I go out for a meal and he loves the food so much that he can hardly talk to me. So I think eating out is sharing an experience and chatting and discussing the food you like, which is why this poor lady is now having such trouble. She's got no one to sit and enjoy her passion with. But I sit there and I want to have a conversation and he won't talk. And then he stops and goes, oh, that was one of my top 10 meals. Love that. And for him, it was about the food. And for me, it was about the company and the experience. And then when we come home and I cook, I'm very lucky. He's always very grateful for what I cook and he's always delicious and thank you ever so much. Don't get me wrong. But then he'll price them. He'll go, oh, that was a $20.99. That was that. I don't need to go out anymore for that. And he gives me grades and prices for what I've cooked.
Oh, Lord, yeah, that's
interesting. That's good. But there again, when you go to a restaurant, you know, if he's enjoying it, does he really want you whittering in his ear all the time? Do you know what I mean? That would do my head in too.
There is some social interaction when we're having dinner, though, isn't there? I mean, you know, if you're out for a poshin.
Well, I've eaten more meals with you than anybody else, Simon. I've got to admit, we're very compatible.
We are.
Yeah.
I you're the best dinner guest I ever have.
Vice versa, you see.
Mostly, we're the only one.
Yeah, but what we cook for each other is generally quite stunning, I must admit.
Oh, yes, that is.
But then when we go out to a restaurant, though, you know, we talk about everything, but we eat and we talk the food. Yeah, no, it's so easy. Food is social lubrication, isn't it? It's like jelly of culture.
It is. And that's the thing, you see. Maybe your husband, Tash, just needs a little bit of more, a slightly better socialization. You know, maybe you can send him on a course.
Do you know what I ask him to do? He goes out for lovely with his work. He goes out for lovely meals sometimes, and I always want to know what he ate. If he's been, he's been taken to a wonderful restaurant, or he's, and I always go, "What did you eat?" And it really frustrates me. We now have it as a joke, but he goes, "Oh, I don't know. It was some kind of meat with a sauce," and it drives me insane. I'm like, "Tell me what was the sauce? What was the menu? What was the flavour?" That kind of stuff does excite me. So I like, I love that. He can't do it.
But then you said he's a foodie, so he should be able to translate it.
He just likes eating it. He really just enjoys flavours, but he loves his food. But yeah, he just can't articulate it.
It's funny, isn't it? Because if you love food and it's an interest and you're really genuinely that much like eating it, you kind of
should know.
I want to know. I just want to know what the crack was and who, you know, wow.
Yeah, it's different.
A bit of an odd one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the problem is, obviously for Audrey, food is a hobby. And a passion rather than sustenance. You know, it's interesting. You know, I mean, I sometimes can, I suppose I'm a bit of a pain, really, because I do want a 21 gun salute when I get it right and bring it to the table. And she just wants a dinner. But like to eat out, we do have a lovely time, you know, and it's a great adventure as well.
It's odd, isn't it? Because the thing is that there are only two types of people in the world, aren't there? People that live to eat, i.e. Audrey, and people that eat to live, i.e. Bradley.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a third type now, Kingy. What's it's that? Those that can't afford to eat.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's can't afford to eat. Yeah, that's true. That's also true.
I think it's a shame for poor old Audrey, though, that he can't appreciate for her, even if he doesn't want to enjoy it, he could have left that slow cooker on. He could have let her enjoy it. That's just plain rude, not thinking about her. Never mind that stomach. It's just, as a person, that's rude, I think.
I think it is. And I just think that if there is that sort of fundamental fracture of existences, where do you go from there? Because that fundamental base element and foundation of any relationship is you've got to have, that's a massive one not to have in common. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's passion, isn't it?
Yeah.
Only time you really share something outside the bedroom, let's say, you really share you sit down and you can discuss. It forces you to sit down eating, doesn't it, and food, and it forces you to be in front of each other. And I just think that's a real shame if they haven't got that come together at the end of the evening to create that moment. Yeah, I think it's a real shame. He's almost like an opposite of a feeder, isn't he? He's almost a starver.
Mm. Starver. Yeah. Wow. Anyway.
Well, Audrey's got two choices, really. I suppose she either doesn't put up with it, or is there any way that she can actually share her interest with Bradley, explain how she feels? But surely, because she's interested in food, I suspect the food's really good, you know, and like the way she describes that slow-cooked beef dish, then surely Bradley must enjoy it and appreciate what's being done for him.
I think the only way that Audrey's going to be able to share her passion and the food together is by throwing it at Bradley. I think that's the only sharing that's going to go on, I think. It's a shame, though.
Yeah, if you're not
going to
eat it, wear it.
Yeah, yeah. It's in the dog. Or buy a dog. Yeah.
Yeah, but then, of course, all that work's gone to nothing and now I'm just going to feel dreadful.
Yeah. So I go back to my original point, dump them out of the highest window.
Well, there we go. Si has spoken. And Audrey, we wait to hear whether or not you push him out of... No, we don't want to know if you push him out of...
We don't want to know that.
We don't want to know that. No, it's absolutely fine. But thank you for getting in touch. And now at this point in the Hairy Bikers, or Agony Uncles, we have something new, which we're going to do every week, which is we're going to go for a break. We'll be back in a minute.
If you got problems, you'll be fine. Just drop the Agony Uncles a line.
Our next problem is called the Errant Brother. And it is short and sweet. We need a male. I've got a name, but I'm going to change it. I wonder who I could ask for a male.
No,
name.
Don't. Not today.
I wonder who I can ask. Tash.
I'm ready. Is it male or female?
Male.
I'm going to go Daniel. Don't know where that came from. Dan.
Ooh, where did Daniel come from? Oh.
No?
Dan. Okay, this comes from Dan. Short and sweet. Dear fellas and the posh one. My brother was on his uppers a few years ago, and I lent him a grand to help get him through. Now he runs a really successful plumbing company and is loaded, driving the flash cars, always on holiday. But he's never once offered me the money back, and it winds me up every time I see him. Should I ask for it back?
Yes.
Daniel.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that's that then. There we are. Short in and short out.
Why wouldn't he ask for it back?
It's an interest.
Yeah. And you just need to remind him to say, here, kid, listen, I'm a bit skint. Any chance you could give us that grand back I lent you 22 years ago, and now I can't even afford the wheel on your posh BMW. Can you, any chance?
Mind you, Simon, this may be an opportune time to remind you that in 1992, when you sold me that Honda CBR 750.
Nice bike.
I gave you £1,000. It was not, Mark. It was not. Oh. I was well and truly ripped off and cooked by this young Geordie with a charming attitude. Anyway, I paid him £1,000 for it. I went up to the Highlands, and anyway, it was a bag of nails, and I phoned him up, and he had to admit that it wasn't really as described. And so I said, well, you'll have the bike back, can I have my money back? Well, he'd spent half of it, so he gave me £500 back, came up in a van, which he'd borrowed, or Stolen with some friends.
Stolen's probably quite nearer than the mark.
But I still haven't had that £500 balance back, really. I know in many, many other ways, Simon, you've given me more than money can describe. But, you know, for 30 years now, it's 500 quid. Is that a bit, well, it's been invested worth now. But, you know, there still is, you know, in cold hard cash. But honestly, when I asked him, he said, oh, well, I've had to buy shoes for the bairns and my gas bill come in. It was like a Lindisfarne record, which is still 500 quid. But, you know, I do remind him, like, publicly many, many times.
Yeah.
But now it's, I probably had more mileage out of not getting the money back than I have if I had got the money back.
And to be fair, dude, because I nicked the van, it was either 500 quid and my makeup still in place or, you know, anyway, it was a long story, but yeah, that's where it went. It went to save me legs.
You got friendship.
Yes, it's a price. His words were this. I said, Kingy, I love you dearly, but, you know, the bike itself, and I think you know it, it really wasn't as described. And he went, it was shiny. Yes, as I'm there in the Highland bypass, really, before the age of mobile phones, stuck with this bag of nails.
And that was just your girlfriend at the time.
She wasn't my girlfriend for long because she got a lift back to Glasgow and I never seen her again.
I knew you shouldn't have gone out with her. I told you.
I didn't even got to go out with her. I just took her a lift on the back of the motorbike and that was it. Boom. You know.
It's quite ballsy, Si, selling that to you. You sell that to a friend. What would you do to somebody you don't know?
I wasn't really his friend then. I was an acquaintance. But the friendship actually seemed to spawn. Well, it was that week we started cooking, wasn't it?
It was, cool, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, because being a Geordie, he didn't just come up on his own in the van. He came up with, like, four friends and stayed for a week, which we parted and caroused and...
We did.
And cooked. And that's when we started, really. So by then, and the bike went back in the van with the said Geordies, was the seats were taken out of the minibus. And that's how the Hairy Bikers really started.
Yeah, I like the story. It started with 500 quid.
Yeah, start fundamentally, yeah.
Each member as well is, there was one day, we all went out for a hike. We were all about my little place in the Highlands. It was a flat above an antique shop. It was lovely home. You know, I got divorced. I made it my own. It was nice.
Lovely.
My ex-wife had made peach schnapps for some reason. Well, it may have been. But anyway, Kiki said, I'm all right. I can forget the hike. So he stayed in. And we all went out walking, and we've still got photos of this, hiking around the cliffs around the coast. And we come back, and he's flat out, isn't he? What he thought was like pop turned out to be a demijohn of peach schnapps, which he'd consumed about 3 pints. And he was still there, lying in front of the fire, in his hobnail boots and his underpants, absolutely laddered. I knew then he was the brother for me.
You see? And I think that was the night I was lighting my own farts and nearly had to go to hospital. That wasn't nice either.
I've got pictures of that as well. Yes. Yeah, I have actually. Yeah, the human Vesuvius. Oh, God. We didn't have much money, but we had a good time.
Hey, we did. We're heading out, Dave. We're heading out.
Out? No. Except the human flamethrower.
Can you get a bit closer? Get a bit closer. Why? I need to light the fire. Was that good, actually?
Oh,
I need
a
new underpants.
My God. Mark and I were just having a little chat, going, I've never been in a situation where I've needed or wanted or been asked to light my fart.
No, nor me. Nor me.
No, nobody asked Simon to light his farts. But I remember on the stage show, I think it was the first tour we did, we actually showed these pictures. Do you remember?
I do.
Yeah, it was quite extraordinary. It was a private glimpse of our past.
Yes.
And the thing is, there was two young ladies who used to work with me on the Cooksons, Nadia and Jill, who were both young, blonde and terribly attractive. And what was the irony was, they're sitting either side of him whilst he's got his legs behind his ears.
No.
Letting rip. Yeah.
Sigh, no.
Oh, man.
Why?
Is this Geordie chat up?
Yeah. Oh no, it's don't ask him about that. There's a couple of lines I remember.
We couldn't repeat on this. Worse than lighting farts.
Yeah. Yes. What's the matter with you two? Why haven't you ever tried to light your phone?
Because it's dangerous. You might my entire testicles might explode.
Well, your entire testicles or just one of them?
No,
you never know. You might get lucky.
All four of them.
I remember reading that news story about there was a woman. And she blew off next to a gas fire, and her tights caught light. Really badly burned. Oh, nylons went up.
Oh my God!
Ooh. I like them blue boxer shorts. To be fair, and there were scorch marks on them, and I couldn't get them out. So I thought.
Yeah, you said they were scorch marks. They looked like scorch marks.
Oh, they were.
I think the northern phrase is skiddies.
It was definitely not a skid. No, it could have been, actually, to be fair.
Now, somehow,
it was the pressure you were put. Anyway.
So somehow we managed to get...
We digress.
We got from, yes. Should I ask my brother for a grand back, to this place. I don't know how we got there, but let's
No, I come, don't, actually,
let's
to be
come
fair.
All the way back, and we should go. Should Daniel ask for his grand back? Posh Tash?
Yes.
Uncle Dave?
Almost definitely.
Uncle Si?
Absolutely.
Well, if you're down, now don't get drunk. Just send an email to the Agony Uncles.
It's time to head to Confidential Corner. This is called The Next Door Nookie. And we need one male and one female name. One male, one female. Uncle Dave, male. Uncle Si, female, please.
Barry.
And,
Don't think of our website producer, by the way, Barry, who is also called Barry, while you're listening to this problem.
What about Nicola?
Barry and Nicola. So the names of our manager and of our website producer. But they're nothing to do with this. Although, dear Uncle Si, Uncle David, Posh Tash, says Barry, I'm 23. I've lived in the same house all my life. Next door to us lives Nicola. She's always lived there, and I've known her all my life too. She's 52 now. She's never married. She has a reputation, though, for being a bit wild. My parents have moaned in the past about her parties, but I've always liked her. A week ago, I went to one of these parties. I stayed there till everyone had gone as I helped tidy up. We were both a bit tipsy. And, well, somehow, we ended up in bed. And I had the most amazing, wonderful experience ever. She was so incredible! She was away the following day, but the day after that I went round to see her, and it was as though nothing had happened. I actually ended up sweeping her driveway to get the leaves up. When I went round the next day, she was a bit irritated that I'd turned up again, so I just said, look, I'm sorry, I thought we had something going, and I'd like to see you a bit more. She looked at me and said, Barry, it was only a shag. I'm really confused now. I really like her, and I thought we had something good. Do I need to let it go? Asked
yes,
Barry. Over to you.
Yes, Barry. She's 52. She's wild. You're 23 and trying to find the weight of yourself, as my brother would say. So just take the experience for what it is and let it go, dude. It was an experience. You had a great time. Let it go.
And I think he probably did a masses for her ego. Thought, brilliant. Great night for me. Well done, me. Look, I got a 23-year-old. And then woke up and said, well, that's unrealistic. Great. And yeah.
It's a huge perk, isn't it? That he's been pleasured by an older lady, and that she's not the one that wants more. She's quite happy with a lot.
Yeah.
But I think it's rather lovely, actually. He sounds a really nice fellow. That he's not taking it like that, and he obviously hasn't age. Well, age has no boundaries to passion, does it? Really?
No. She should have said maybe. This is brilliant. This is fun, but maybe it's just one night. Maybe she could have said it a bit sooner, so he didn't get his hopes up.
Well, no, I mean, it's a bit of a passion killer, isn't it, really? when you game on and everything, it sounds fabulous. But anyway, you know, you can always go around and sweep a drive, as long as it's not a euphemism, whenever you want, son. You know, go around for a cup of tea, be a best mate. And obviously, you could end up being, what's that phrase? A friend with benefits.
Oh.
What did you say, Tash?
What did you say, Tash?
Is it a fuck buddy? Isn't that what it is?
Yes.
Oh, God, you're so hamstered.
We are. Oh, Tash.
No, sorry, but that's essentially, I mean, I reckon she's had an ego boost. He's got a notch on the bedpost now. Brilliant. He's learned a few things off someone, an older woman. I worry, though, Dave, by you recommending go round, have a cup of tea, sweep her leaves, so to speak, I do feel that he'll always have his hopes up. He'll always think it's going to happen and she won't be his friend, or she'll use him. He'll never move on and meet someone properly in his age group because he'll get caught up. So I kind of feel, leave it, you know, Christmas cards, you know, bit of a wave over the fence panels in the morning. But I think he should leave it at that.
Yeah, he's 23. He'll get over it, won't he?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think you might be reading a bit too much into it, Tash. But, you know, 23 and a great smashing experience. But sunshine, move on.
Yeah. He could try the other neighbour.
That's a 78-year-old man with a whippet.
So, Barry, it sounds as though you've had a lovely time, Barry.
Yeah, yeah, Barry's, you know, Barry's had a lovely time. Nicholas had a lovely time. Nicholas happy, Barry's happy. He's just wanting a bit more and Nicholas gone sod off. It's all right.
You know, well, the fact he wants a bit more, he shows that it's nice for Nicola to know that he hasn't thought of her as, oh, good grief, she's so old and all this bollocks. He's obviously had a thoroughly fabulous time. I think it's easily reconciled. And they can carry on being good neighbours, and they will not wink now and again of knowingness will go between the two of them. That's how I'd like to see it happen.
Yeah.
Same here.
Because everybody wants Barry and Nicola to live together happily ever after. Literally on the various terms.
Yes.
Lovely. Lovely advice. Thank you very much. And
I still can't be thinking of Barry and Nicola that we work with, really.
That's what's in my head as well.
And mine too.
Naughty, stop it right there.
Yeah, good grief. That'd be hilarious.
If your life's in a mess, then the email address is theagonyuncles@thehairybikes.co.uk. Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening to us on the Agony Uncles podcast, which is sponsored today by Meter.
Now Meter, it's a wireless meat thermometer. It's the best you can get. You stick it in your food while it's cooking, then use the Meter app on your phone to see how the food's doing. It also advises you on the resting times, everything. We love it. And as they're our sponsor for the podcast, we've done you a favour, because as one of our listeners, you can get Meter for a massive 20% off. It is an exclusive offer for Agony Uncles listeners.
It's easy to get it off, as our last listener well knows. It's 20% off. Just go to meter.com, which is spelled M-E-A-T-E-R, and use the code HAIRY20 to get 20% off anything in the Meter range. So go on, you know what you want to do. And while you do that, let me remind you that there'll be a new episode of the Agony Uncles every Friday. So please remember to hit the subscribe button and follow us to make sure you don't miss a single episode.
So, from Posh Tash.
Bye.
The Thin White Duke.
Goodbye.
And lovingly from us, bye-bye.
Bye.